This is HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. The majority of people with cancer will experience pain at some time or another, and the pain can result from the cancer itself or sometimes from the cancer's treatment. In addition, some people who have been cured of their cancer may continue to suffer from pain. We'll hear with more on this and how to find pain relief is Dr. Brendan McGinn, assistant professor in the Department of Anesthesiology and the director of the Comprehensive Pain Management Center at Upstate Medical University's Cancer Center. Welcome, Dr. McGinn. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
So let's begin by helping us understand a little bit more about what causes cancer pain.
Well, cancer pain has multiple causes, and these can range from tumors physically compressing structures such as muscle, bone, skin, nerves themselves, internal organs, and as you alluded to, also treatments for cancer such as chemotherapy, radiation therapy, surgeries, they can also be a cause of pain. And also a major contributor to the experience of pain in cancers is stress and a lot of the helplessness that can accompany a cancer diagnosis and the subsequent treatments, and those things can often amplify the pain experience for these patients.
So what you're saying is you've got like three components you've mentioned. So first of all, the actual tumor or something that's obstructing some normal bodily function can actually cause pain by impinging on nerves or muscles or all of that. The treatments themselves obviously can cause some kind of pain, whether they be surgical intervention or some kind of chemotherapy. But then you're also saying that the psychic pain, so to speak, or the expectation or the fear can also lead to pain as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So those are all functions. So what kinds of symptoms generally do you see when people have cancer pain?
So this very much depends on the cause of the pain, but it can range from joint muscle pain, abdominal aches, to burning neuropathies, numbness, tingling, associated pain in the hands and feet, and it's really anything in between. Cancer pain is really, it's acute and chronic pain in the setting or context of cancer, and it can manifest in just about any way one can think of.
So does it also depend a little bit about the stage that you're in terms of the disease, the stage, how much it's metastasized or how much it's spread, and also perhaps the location?
Absolutely.
All of those things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cancer can affect pretty much any part of the human body. And in so doing, pain can have multiple locations, very systemic pain, very localized in certain areas. And certainly this depends on if it's the initial diagnosis, well into progression of the disease or very much so during and after the treatments themselves.
But as we talked about when we first started talking, there's also this whole idea of perception of pain that plays a role. So does some of this, is some of it impacted by the person's own threshold for pain? And do we all have different thresholds for pain?
That's absolutely, yes. Oftentimes patients, a lot of cancer patients may have already been affected by chronic pain in general. Patients that are going through very traumatic periods in their lives in the context of their cancer diagnosis and treatments can have a much lower threshold for pain. We mentioned sort of the fear of pain coinciding with disease progression and what that might mean for them long term certainly has a lot to do with the pain experience overall.
So how important is it to treat? I mean, how important is timing in treating cancer? You often hear things like get ahead of the pain. I mean, what does that mean? And in general, how important is timing?
Very important. So when any sort of chronic pain begins to manifest, addressing it early certainly helps to get a handle on it, can oftentimes help prevent very rapid increases in severity, can help prevent some of the large swings in pain severity that can occur as disease progressions evolve or progress or the conversely, getting behind pain is often a very difficult hole to dig out of. So when pain is inadequately addressed, it's definitely can be a challenge in terms of getting a patient comfortable in terms of the amount you have to employ that might not have been needed if you had addressed pain in an earlier stage.
Right. So the earlier you get it, the less maybe medication or intervention you might have to undertake.
Absolutely.
So that's crucial. And also in terms of just generally keeping people comfortable,
yes,
I would think.
Absolutely.
So, well, obviously one way to remove pain if it's a function of the treatments would be to stop the treatments, obviously. But in many cases, you can't do that. So what... Let's start with medications to start with in terms of what you would use to treat cancer pain. And are they based on the severity of the pain symptoms? I mean, what you choose, is it based on severity?
Absolutely. You know, even the World Health Organization actually has a ladder for sort of addressing cancer pain,
really?
Itself, and it has to do with severity. And, you know, there's a multitude of medications that are used to treat, you know, generalized acute and chronic pain itself, and all these can sort of be applied to cancer pain in the same way, and you know, just like somebody would be experiencing low back pain or diffuse arthritis, a lot of the medications used to treat that can be used in cancer pain. So
let's start with something like if you have mild pain or mild to moderate pain, what's in your bag of tricks, so to speak? What's in your doctor's bag,
sure,
at that point?
Oftentimes, you know, people look beyond some of the very basic over-the-counter medications. It's things like Tylenol and ibuprofen, a lot of the NSAIDs. These are fantastic medications that, you know, otherwise people take to treat aches and pains, but those can be great in treating joint muscle pain that's associated with cancer. This can be in the context of tumor involvement or even post-surgical pain. There's medications that somebody might be taking for diabetes, or sometimes we think of sciatica, shooting leg pain that can be from nerves being pinched in the back. People that take those for those chronic pain states, you can use those medications to treat chemotherapy-induced numbness and tingling, neuropathies, we call them. So there's a lot of overlap here.
Yeah, with pain in general, you're saying. Mm-hmm. I know. But so so these are most of the things you started with are over the counter, mm-hmm, kinds of things. But how about when the pain really, mm-hmm, starts to ramp up,
sure,
or the nature of the pain is more severe?
Right.
What do you turn to
so,
then?
Yeah, we you know, employ medications called opioids, and these are medications such as morphine and its derivatives, medications that are similar to it. And these are absolutely excellent at treating severe pain, especially cancer pain. And this can be pain involving deep organs, bony pain, pain from mucosa breakdown that occurs with bone marrow transplants. A lot of pain that is the most severe is can be very well treated with sort of early and aggressive employment of these medications.
So things like their hydrocodone or OxyContin, those are the things that people know by name.
Exactly.
Those are the things.
Yes.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here along with pain management specialist Dr. Brendan McGinn. We're talking about cancer pain and how to treat it. How about this neuropathic pain? That's something you alluded to before. That's burning, tingling, and that can be, is it the nerve endings? I mean, what's happening there?
So, yes, when there's actually damage to the nerves themselves, and that can be from chemotherapy or actual, you know, physical damage from tumors or
impinging on them.
Yeah, and post-surgical pain. And so when nerves themselves are damaged, it's different than, say, muscle or bony soreness. It can be oftentimes described as a burning or tingling or electric-type pain. And we employ medications that are different from your standard, you know, over-the-counter medications like Tylenol or ibuprofen. These are medications that can range from things that are used for seizures or things that are used for depression.
I saw that. Actually, I was noticing that this was kind of surprising to me as a layperson, that antidepressants can help with neuropathic pain and anticonvulsants, as you just alluded to, as well. So even something like prednisone, like a corticosteroid, can help.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, these medications historically have been used for those purposes for seizure or depression, but in different varying doses. And, you know, over time, it's been shown that these are also help with chronic pain, especially neuropathic pain.
I want to get to some of the potential side effects of all these things, because I know that each one of them, even the over-the-counter drugs, carry some of those. But just in general, can you make a statement about some of the other therapies that you found to be helpful, the kind of ancillary therapies, whether it be something like acupuncture, massage? What What's been your experience with that?
Certainly. So, as an interventionalist, I also treat a lot of chronic pain conditions with, various injections in the spine, in the joints or muscles, and all of these can be employed in cancer pain as well.
Things like nerve blocks.
So, I mean, examples are patients with metastases to bones in the back. You can inject things like epidural steroids. Nerves can be damaged, those nerves can subsequently be blocked with injections. And these can be in a leg or an arm, but these can also be, deep inside the abdomen themselves. Sometimes these treatments are very transient, but in the combination with medications, they can help to contribute to patient comfort. And oftentimes these are best employed during times of acute pain exacerbations. But you mentioned there's the complementary therapies, and these can range from meditation and acupuncture and to aggressive psychological support that focuses on patients' overall pain experience.
Or even their fear of death, I would think.
Absolutely. And these are crucial therapies, and they're oftentimes underutilized. And, these are some of the most beneficial, especially in the context of patients feeling like they don't have control of their situation and like you say, the stress and the fear that can come from all of this.
So why is it that sometimes people don't get adequate treatment for cancer pain? What do you think leads to that?
So oftentimes pain control can take a backseat to treatment, certainly in some of the earlier stages when we talk about sort of getting ahead of pain, sometimes with, initial diagnoses and initiating treatment, there can be sort of a focus on that can, make pain management and sort of addressing that secondary. But there's also some of the medications that are prescribed, like we talked about these morphine medications, there are stigmas associated with those medications and patients may be hesitant to use those because of that. But, these are in actuality one of the few indications for chronic usage of these medications is in the treatment of cancer pain. It's one of the best uses for these and where we see some of the best benefits. And like any medication, opioids do have side effects, and that can be from constipation and itching, hormonal imbalances, but these are all very easily treatable.
How about the issue of addiction? Do people? Sure. I mean, I know people are often afraid to start using some of these narcotics and opioids because on the doctor's side, afraid that the patient may become addicted and the patient may be being afraid. Mm-hmm. Is there any reality to that? Or generally, should you use them regardless?
Sure. No, and absolutely you should. And there is are issues with that, currently in the pain community, but certainly in cancer pain, there should really be no hesitancy in employing these.
I actually saw something that said that recent evidence suggested that good control of pain symptoms actually helps people live longer.
Absolutely.
Has that been your experience
Absolutely.
As well?
And whether or not that is, a sort of placebo effect or just reducing the body's stress response, but you certainly do see that more often than not.
In the little bit of time we have left, what do you see happening in the future, if anything, or even more importantly, what would you like people to know, patients to know when facing cancer pain?
Sure. So, cancer pain is a major part of the cancer experience. It should be addressed early. It should be treated just as aggressively as the cancer itself. It's an expected and normal condition of cancer, and its severity oftentimes has no relationship to how a disease is evolving or progressing. And it's not just about medications. Treating it should be a multimodal approach. And that can include injections and interventions and the complementary therapies we discussed. And, ironically, in this day and age, people are living through cancers that were once thought to not be survivable. And these patients, may carry with them a lifetime of chronic pain that was the result of their prior cancer or their treatments, and even though their disease might be in remission. So it's important to treat chronic pain caused by cancer beyond the cancer itself as long as it exists.
And really, so early, get it early and be aggressive about
absolutely,
the treatment.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. My guest has been Dr. Brendan McGinn. He's assistant professor in the Department of Anesthesiology and the director of the Comprehensive Pain Management Center at Upstate Medical University's Cancer Center. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to HealthLink on Air.